You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Back on the Roto Experts. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for finding us on the Fantasy Sports Radio app, on iTunes Radio, on iHeartRadio, a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you. Thank you for listening. We are the Roto Experts. I'm Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz. We're going to take you around the world of the NFL in this next hour, previewing all of the games that are coming up on the Sunday-Monday slate. So, George, we'll start with recapping the game that occurred on Thursday night. Cam Newton and Carson Wentz go toe-to-toe. Wentz gets the win 28-23, a big win for Philly on the road. And a tough one for the Panthers because they got just stifled up front, could not run the ball at all. It forced Cam Newton to throw the ball 52 times.
Yeah, and you certainly don't want that. But it's going on for a couple of weeks now. Carolina can't run the ball, certainly not with any kind of consistency, and it's really only Cam who can run the ball. They thought they fixed the problem with McCaffrey, but he's been that more of a pass reception kind of a back, not a guy who's going to run through a tackles for you. Stewart's had been miserable for the past couple of weeks, so they have some issues here. But as you stated earlier in the show, and I completely agree, you cannot have Cam throwing the ball 50 to 60 times. That's not a recipe for success.
Yeah, I agree. In his best years, his MVP year, there were people criticizing him because of his lack of accuracy. How could a quarterback with X completion percentage be the MVP? He's not even throwing the ball that well. Well, he was obviously running the ball in a significant way. And he, luckily for you fantasy owners, he did that on Thursday night. The 11 carries for 71 yards and the touchdown at least counteracts in some way the three interceptions, one of which was not his fault. But I would also say, George, he threw several other interceptable passes that were dropped or just fell out of reach of the defenders.
Yeah, it was a weird night. I mean, first of all, the Thursday night games are getting better, right? I mean, they've been kind of competitive. Right, they've been good. I mean, last week we had New England Tampa Bay. Before that, we had the monster 78-point game between San Fran and the Rams. But we're always not going to get the crispest of football. So I always try and look at that with a grain of salt that maybe that's why the passes were off. Maybe that's why these guys weren't quite prepared. So I look at it that way. I'm not going to panic too much about it.
Yeah, Carson Wentz throws the three touchdowns, even on a relatively inaccurate night for him. We have a poll up, Cam Newton versus Carson Wentz for the rest of the year. Who would you rather have? Just go to FNTSY Radio on Twitter and vote. Carson Wentz, the early lead. We'll keep updating that throughout the hour. But it's Mike and George here on the Roto Experts for the next hour. We're going to come back, preview those games, find out who you should start, who you should sit. We'll weave in some injury news that we did in the last hour as best we can. So, really, George, the last thing to come out of the game the other night is I think we know that McCaffrey can be good in PPR despite their inability to run. And on the flip side, we know LeGarrette Blount may have a little bit of peaks and valleys, but he's got a really solid role here in the Philly offense.
I agree. I think Blount's up at bottom line RB2.
It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts. You're back on Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Jag's gonna jag on Twitter, George. Gallman is one of the very pass-catching options on the Giants and has put up 10.7 and 12 points the last 2 weeks, getting 8 to 10 targets. I think he's fighting against your assertion that the Giants won't be able to do anything. He likes Wayne Gallman here. or maybe
good luck to you.
Yeah, he wants Wayne Gallman out of that group of players that I mentioned earlier, the Gallman, Perine, Mack, Breda, all that kind of stuff.
Listen, you're in a PPR league. I could see it, and any running back with a pulse has value. Yeah, because it's bye weeks too. So yeah, he could have some value. But you're expecting big things out of this. You're out of your mind. I mean, they got Vereen there too. So is he going to catch balls out of the backfield as well? I think it's going to forget about Mr. Vereen.
I have.
Rushing room is not going to work. You know, I think a lot of us have. But I'm not expecting much of that of this giant offense at all from anybody. Like I said, it's the running joke right now. But are they going to score a point tomorrow?
Yeah, what's the? I'm going to get to the Lions. We'll get to that game a little bit later, but it certainly wasn't the game that NBC had anticipated. Well, what is Collinsworth going to talk about?
I'm sure they'll make it sound.
How good Tavares King is?
As a Yankee fan, I'm disappointed. Game 3 is not tomorrow night. It's Monday night. They get the day off tomorrow, so because I want something to be able to watch that might be competitive. That's going to. I mean, really, you start thinking.
It's just going to be really boring.
Can they flex in week 6? Is that too early? Oh, God. Any game would be better. I'd rather watch Cleveland-Chicago. Chicago Bulls.
Well, it's funny. It's funny you said that because we're going to get to that game.
Segue for you, Mike.
All right, so I'll do that one first since you segued it. So Bears at Ravens, 38.5 over-under on this. Baltimore 6-point favorite. It's in Baltimore. Kendall Wright leads the team with 200 receiving yards. He does the Bears. Obviously, it's going to be the Jordan Howard show, you would hope. Brandon Williams is out. Maybe that opens up the running lanes for him a little bit. Mitch Trubisky's second game here in Baltimore, George.
Yeah, this is actually going to be a pretty poor game, too. It's Trubisky that I want to watch. And I want to see the young rookie quarterback who had had a lot of athleticism on Monday night. They didn't win the game, but he looked good. Looked like he could be a franchise quarterback, so that was good to see. But the problem as far as judging Trubisky is, who's he throwing to? I really, who's he throwing to? You know, Bears sort of like the Giants. Everyone's hurt. Everyone's down. They didn't have the quality of the Giants anyway. So that's some problems. It'd be hard to go with him there. Zach Miller certainly could be of interest to me. But you mentioned it's really Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen that I have the most interest. And it'd be nice if the Bears maybe gave the ball to Cohen some more, give him some more touches there. Wouldn't it? Nice.
It would be nice. On the Ravens side of the ball, you made your feelings known about Joe Flacco earlier and the lack of passing game, but it's a Javorius Allen, Alex Collins debate. Alex Collins has rushed for 80 yards in 2 of his past 3, but Javorius Allen was a big pickup this week. Terrence West out. He rushed for 73 yards with a touchdown last week. So I'm hoping for a little bit out of Buck Allen, but even in the league where I have him, I'm not playing him.
Like I said, I wasn't joking before. If you have a running back has a pulse, he's valuable, right? Because, my God, there's just enough to go around right now. If I have Buck Allen on my team at PPR League and I'm not playing him, wow, better depth than I thought. Yeah, because I know in one league I'm starting guys like Samaje Perine, Marlon Mack, and Matt Breida. I mean, that's what I'm down to here. So it could be rough at running back right now. So if you can't start him, if you can afford to sit him, God bless you.
Well, in the league that I have him, we only start one running back. I could start him in the flex, but I think I have Garcon in the flex right now, and Hogan is starting for me at receiver. I got another good receiver in there, Golden Tate. But it's basically Alvin Kamara over Javorius Allen. Would you agree with that call?
Yes, I would. I like Kamara. I like him a lot. And once again, New Orleans at home is almost a must-start for my Saints.
Yeah, that's exactly, if there was a tiebreak to be had, that would be the tiebreak for me. So move over to Miami, Atlanta. Jay Cutler, in 4 career meetings against the Atlanta Falcons, I'm just trying. In 4 career meetings against Atlanta, has 1,209 passing yards with 6 touchdowns for a 99.4 rating. So Jay Cutler, tomorrow, in a dome. What do you think?
I'm going to take the under on those.
Yeah,
all right, I'm going to say the under on the rating, the under on 302 yards passing, and the under on the touchdowns. I guess they should be happy about Miami should be happy about the Ezekiel Elliott suspension being put back on, because if not, we'd be talking about the stripper and the cocaine and the offensive lineman, right? I mean, God. The NFL, man, it's like a reality show. You just never know what's going to pop up week to week.
That was a heck of a story.
He snorted lines over a stripper or whatever the hell she is. That's just great. I mean, and let us take a video. Good move, yeah.
In the team facility. in the
no blackmail coming there at all. No. Yeah. Smooth, buddy. Smooth.
Yeah. Guy's got problems.
Problems. I think he's got problems. That's a good way to sum it up. Yeah. Problems.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got some issues there. And we wish him the best.
I mean, come on, man. If you're going to do it, how do you let her take a video of it? What do you think she's going to do with it? Well, then oh, my God. Then how did she get a hold of it?
He took the video. He sent it to her.
Why?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It was like a love letter. It was crass, and it was X-rated. But he was sending, like, professing his love for her as he was using the substance, and he sent it to her. And then she decided to expose him for God knows what reason. Like, I can't even get to the drama of it. It really is incredible that he would do that. He put himself in.
You wouldn't see this on a TV show. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, it seems fake.
But in real life is always funnier than like I said, than, oh my God, than scripted stuff. It's just, it's amazing. Yeah. The Dolphins have been, it's always one thing after another with the Dolphins. It truly is. You know, it's just, they're a mess. How is this? I mean, they're a bad team.
I don't know.
Aren't they a bad team? Jay Ajayi can't get off the, right. Yeah, that's also true. Jay Ajayi can't do anything, right? I guess they need to play Buffalo again. Maybe that's when he'll pick it up. Devontae Parker probably not playing tomorrow. He's got the ankle injury, so I wouldn't expect much from him. Jarvis Landry, okay. You know, I'm gonna go with Jarvis. Of course you are. He's a starting wide receiver. You gotta think they're gonna throw the ball all day because Atlanta's gonna score 1,000 points. But it's just like I said, it's sad. Just sad.
Yeah, Matty Ice, 3,075 passing yards and 21 touchdowns versus 6 interceptions for a 111 passer rating in his past 10 games at home. He's also thrown a touchdown pass in 23 consecutive games. It's the longest active streak in the NFL. Devontae Freeman, 13 rushing touchdowns in his past 10. I think you got a 46 over-under here and a 12.5-point favorite for Atlanta. I think it obviously projects well for the Atlanta offense, and you're going to hope that Miami can throw their way back into it. Jay Ajayi, 344 rushing yards with a rushing touchdown in his past three on the road. Moving over to the next game on the slate, we did Bears-Ravens. The next game is Browns-Texans. We talked about the defensive issues for the Texans. No Watt, no Merciless, possibly no McKinney. But we go to an 0-5 Browns team, George, who has made a switch at quarterback, and it's going to be Kevin Hogan now. I actually picked him up in the Scott Fishbowl Industry League, which requires a super flex. I probably actually will never play him. It's just a little bit of Roethlisberger insurance. And honestly, you could make a case, as they have on Daily Roto, that Kevin Hogan is a better play than Ben Roethlisberger this week. So give me your thoughts on Kevin Hogan first.
Hogan's Heroes. Once again, not much to throw to there, as their offense isn't all that exciting. It's Duke Johnson really or bust. Crowell had an okay game against the Jets, but still can't kick it in the end zone. It's just scary. You probably can't release him because running backs are valuable, and we all need them here. Hogan over Roethlisberger? Okay, I can see where the case can be made. Yeah, because Roethlisberger on the road.
I'm not
going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. I don't have a big enough set to do that, but I could see where you can make the case. I can argue it, but in the end, I couldn't pull the trigger, no.
Yeah, obviously Deshaun Watson's been on fire, 261 with 5 touchdowns last week. Ricardo Lewis has been a name that's popped up for the Browns.
No.
Because he's had 135 receiving yards in the past 2 games. But I just feel like picking up any of the Browns wide receivers, you could have been on a hamster wheel this year trying to figure out if it's Kenny Britt or Corey Coleman or Ricardo Lewis or Rashard Higgins. It's just different every week. And you really like David Njoku, but Seth DeValve is still hanging out.
Just say no.
I just feel like you're never going to get these right until they establish who the guys are with Hogan. Then I think you're literally throwing darts, and it's just not really a worthy play. How about Lamar Miller this week up against the Browns, George, though? You've seen some positive.
The Browns are pretty good against the run. I mean, if you're starting Miller, you can't not start him. But if Browns are pretty good against the run, unless he gets in the end zone, he's not going to have a good fantasy day either.
So that's it for that game. You know, we'll talk more about the games on the way back. 9-point favorite for Houston. 47 over under. A lot of points potentially there, unexpectedly. We'll come back. We'll talk about Green Bay at Minnesota after this. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
We're back on the Roto Experts. Thanks for joining us this morning. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'll update that poll right now. Who would you rather have for the rest of the season? Cam Newton or Carson Wentz? It's, wow. What do you think the percentage is, George?
I would have thought it would be close to 50-50.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. I would think it would be 50-50 too. 75% Carson Wentz right now. With about 35 minutes to go. Yeah, 75% Carson Wentz way in front. I think people probably don't know, however, just reading Twitter, don't know the setup for his next 6 weeks, which you detailed. They both have pretty easy schedules. Cam's is really easy. So I think any of those jumping off the Cam Newton bandwagon because they looked at the line and saw it was three interceptions. So like I said in the previous segment, one interception, clearly not his fault, but he threw a couple of other balls that could have been picked off, George. So that's all I'll say. The accuracy is, it's just an issue. It's not going away. The guy's a veteran quarterback. He's not going to be a deadly accurate quarterback. That's just it. All I can say.
I agree. His accuracy is not going to change anytime soon. It's just not who he is. You know, he's a much better fantasy quarterback than he is an NFL quarterback. But hey, we don't care about the NFL. We only care about fantasy, right? That's what we're here for. So Cam's schedule is cake the next couple of weeks. It's better than Wentz's. Not that schedule is the only thing you go by here. But another little stat here. You know, before last week, Wentz had never thrown more than two touchdown passes in a game. Now he's got back-to-back weeks of more than two. So he may be coming into his own as well. And neither team can really run the ball with any kind of consistency, but I do like the Philadelphia Eagles running game much better.
Yeah, I love me some Zach Ertz too. I know he only caught two passes the other night. They were both for touchdowns, but I just like where he fits in that offense. They finally decide where previously he would get a lot of targets and a lot of catches, George. Now they're like, all right, he's the red zone guy.
Yeah, and it is what it's going to come down to, which is not a bad thing. Listen, if you can only be one thing, yeah, you want to be the red zone guy.
Yeah, of course, especially at that position. So moving on to Green Bay and Minnesota, and we talked about this during the break. So Keenum is in, Bradford is out, and I said to you, why did they even try to put Bradford out there the other night? In fact, Clemson last night, number two team in college football, was upset at Syracuse, a big upset, big win for Syracuse, terrible loss for Clemson. They did the same thing. Their quarterback was hurt going into the game, and he's a mobile quarterback who was noticeably hobbled. Now, Sam Bradford is a million miles from being a mobile quarterback, but he couldn't even walk. He was trying to high-five guys coming off the field, and he couldn't even get to them. He was totally immobile.
It was strange. This is really the bruised knee from hell. I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard of a bruised knee keeping somebody out a month. I mean, it reminds me of, what did this need one more little ounce of pressure for him to break the kneecap? Is that what we're down to? Because you've never heard of a new bruised knee keeping somebody out so long, but obviously this is pretty serious, or it's worse than what they're letting on. Because he looked terrible Monday night. Now, I understand, you know, you started Kubik, you always want to get him in there when you think he can play. Obviously, they misjudged. And this is not just on the team. Bradford must have misjudged as well that he thought he could play. He obviously couldn't. And now you wonder, when's he coming back? Because he didn't look all that close to coming back. He's not playing this week. Is it next week? You know, is it next month? Yeah, it's an interesting situation here. And with his injury history, we all know, you know, it's certainly not pretty.
Yeah, when is their bye week? I wonder if they can aim towards that. I will check that as we go through this game. But it's Packers, Vikings, it's Case Keenum. Luckily, they have him at home. But you're going to have Aaron Rodgers coming off, and obviously a big comeback against the Cowboys last week. George, you watched that game?
I might have caught it. Yeah, I might have seen a play or two.
Oh,
I'm holding up the finger, Mike. You want to guess which finger I'm holding up for you?
Just keep giving him time. He'll take the minute and a half. He'll take a minute.
It's a minute 13.
I know. He'll take it all. Just give him whatever he can give him.
He didn't need it all. There's 11 seconds left on that clock.
Just give him the ball back. That's what you want to do, Jason. In any event, we got the running back issue here. Ty Montgomery, Aaron Jones, and Jamal Williams. Obviously, it's more of a Jones-Montgomery discussion, but Montgomery's playing. So, obviously, Aaron Jones, you're not going to see the level of touches that you saw last week.
No, you're not. By the way, the Minnesota Viking bye week is week 9. So, and I think that's actually could be something they aim for to get him healthy for week 10, second half of the season.
That's a lot. That's four more games, though, including this.
It's actually three more games.
I said including this. 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, it's week 9?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You said get it. Yeah. Sorry. Three including this. My bad.
Make fun of the Cowboys, will you? You can't even add. What's the traffic in this case? It is early. Ty Montgomery and Aaron Jones. It's a passing offense. Montgomery catches the ball well out of the backfield. Now, I'm sure he's still dealing with the broken ribs. They're healed, but they're going to be sore, whatever it comes down to there. So I don't think it's going to be all Montgomery and not Joe. Jones looked pretty good. So I think he's going to get some carries here. But this is also not the Dallas defense. You know, Minnesota can play defense. You know, they're not 2,000 Ravens or 86 Bears, but they're a good, solid defense. A good front four. And we know Xavier Rhodes can shut down a wide receiver or two. So, like I said, I think Aaron Jones is a flex play at best. Ty Montgomery, maybe a little bit better than that, but not much. And Montgomery, I'm really only going to like in PPR leagues, not in standard leagues. So I think you got to calm down your expectations there as far as the Green Bay running game is concerned.
Yeah, so you got no Stephon Diggs. You're going to have Adam Thielen, who probably sees an uptick. Kyle Rudolph, I mean, milk carton stuff there for Kyle Rudolph for the most part. 16 catches so far.
Keenum just doesn't use him.
I know. Last week was his first game that was worth anything. 6 for 45 and a touchdown last week. It's a really solid game. But as you said, he hasn't really been using him at all. Jerick McKinnon, dude, I'm not jumping on this bandwagon.
We've seen this show before, right?
Yeah, totally. And everybody's going nuts. Like, I can't believe I got McKinnon for $25 in a fab in my one league. And I'm like, all right. So he's going to have two good games. You pick him out and let me know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with everything you just said. I didn't bid on McKinnon in any leagues because we've seen this dance before. I mean, I shouldn't say I didn't bid. I did bid. I would bid high on him because Murray's still there. McKinnon had one good game. He might have another good one tomorrow. Wouldn't shock me because, once again, it is Green Bay. But then he's got Baltimore and Cleveland. Those are two teams who are good against the run. So I don't think that'll be over. The party will be over then. So I have issues there as far as McKinnon's concerned. I think it'll be pretty much a split. So like what we might end up seeing in Dallas when Elliott gets suspended between McFadden and Morris. Whoever the game flow is playing well gets the carries. On Monday night, the game flow said McKinnon. He was outplaying him. And that's what I would do in this situation. If I'm a coach, I would do this in a lot of situations. When I don't have a true stud, who's ever playing better plays. I don't see this as being anything Einsteinish. It's a smart thing to do. If you're outplaying the other guy, you play.
I hear you. That game is a 46 over under. Minnesota, a 3-point dog with Keenum up against Aaron Rodgers, which makes sense. So next game, Detroit at New Orleans. Start all your Saints, George. That's all I can say.
Are you starting Willie Snead?
Well, I got to see.
Not necessarily start all your Saints. I think this is an interesting game here as far as that. I mean, you're starting Drew Brees. You're starting Michael Thomas. And after that, it's question marks. You're probably starting Alvin Kamara in most leagues.
What about Mark Ingram?
That's where it gets interesting. I probably am, but we don't know. We haven't seen much from Ingram this year. But now that Adrian Peterson's gone, you think it's at least 4 to 6 more touches he gets a game. But we know Sean Payton hates him. Is he going to use him at the goal line? We don't know that yet. So Ingram could be an iffy play here. But if I have him, I can't see how I'm not starting him. But Willie Snead,
I have to play him.
Yeah, I think I have to start playing Ingram as well. But Willie Snead, I don't. I think they're going to ease him back in, you know, so he's not going to play a full complement of snaps. He's not really an end zone guy, so you're not going to get that touchdown to save your fantasy day. I would lean towards not starting Snead. It's roster construction. What else you have here? Sure. In one league, right now I do have to start because I have too many buys with my other receivers and there's nobody on the waiver wire that I really like above Snead, but I'm not liking it. You know, another guy here, Ted Ginn. I'm iffy on Ginn. I'm starting him here. So I don't automatically say start all my Saints. It's not quite the same team it used to be.
I think that's fair. So we have Matt Stafford, who's hobbled. He's playing, obviously. And if he's your QB1, then you're going to roll Matt Stafford out there. You got a 51 over under here. 4-point favorite are the Saints. So it's a pretty good projected total for the Lions. The running game is what it is, right? If you got Amir Abdullah, you're going to have to see what your other options are. Kenny Golladay banged up. I would just keep your eye on the inactives to make sure that Golladay goes.
Not starting Golladay.
In deeper leagues, right.
I'm not starting him because I have him in a couple of leagues, Mike, but I'm not starting. I mean, he's got the strained hamstring. Even if he does play and is active, we don't know how long or what percentage he's going at here. I mean, listen, I want to start him because it's against the Saints, so you want to start everybody against them, but I can't start Golladay. I would start Snead over Golladay.
So there you go. That says a lot about what we're looking at. But again, he may not even be active, so you'll have to keep an eye on that. The next game on the slate is Pats at Jets, which, God, I mean, I think finally the Jets are going to get exposed for the bad team that they are. Nobody has seemed to do that yet. They're 3-2. The Raiders were the only ones that kind of really took care of business against them. And the Pats are a 9.5-point favorite on the road. Pats, Jets, what do you think?
Well, we have renamed the Jets to Fighting Contadores, just to let you know.
There you go. Go Pete. Yes. That's our producer, Pete Contadore, getting a laugh out of that. So in any event, 3-2. This is for first place in the AFC East.
It is. And so you're starting Brady, you're starting Gronk, Cooks, Hogan, all those guys go. Amendola's going to start for me as well. The Jets are more interesting. I think McCown does make a bye week filler here. If you need someone for Dak or a two quarterback league, you know, Dalton, Russell Wilson, I think McCown will do far fine. Not great, but fine. The running game's interesting. Forte's back. Man, I really want to start Elijah McGuire in this game. With Forte back, we don't know what the breakdown will be. Powell is questionable at best to play here. Curse, Robbie Anderson. I would start Curse over Anderson.
Elijah McGuire was terrible last week. He lost me a game, so I'm not playing that guy again. Anyway.
It's all about you.
So it is all about me. We'll come back. We'll talk about Niners at Washington. It's Mike George back after this.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Mike and George back on the Roto Experts as we rage towards the top of the hour. I wanted to tell you about a program we're working on this year along with DKMS. RotoExperts.com/DKMS. You can go there, find out all the information about what the DKMS cause is and what their mission is, and that's to fight blood cancer. So you can go there. Our goal is to really go to RotoExperts.com/DKMS. You sign up to be part of the bone marrow donation pool. You can make a donation if you like. More importantly, you'll find out more about DKMS, their cause, and help spread the word. In addition to that, we have a third partner in this, and that's Fantasy Draft. So there's going to be a link in that URL, the rotoexperts.com/DKMS, and there's a link to a free DFS contest each and every week on Fantasy Draft. You go there, you try and play, you try and win, and if you're one of the weekly winners, you're going to get put into the grand prize contest in week 17, and the winners of that grand prize contest will go to the Super Bowl in Minnesota. You'll get two tickets, one winner. It's a fun way to do it. It's a fun way to support the cause, and I've been playing each and every week. And, George, I'm trying to win some tickets, right? Just like you would try to win some tickets.
I think I wouldn't mind going to the big game, the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I've been to a Super Bowl.
I had a chance once, but it didn't work out for me.
Didn't materialize.
Yeah. So my friends went instead. Well, it was the one where Scott Norwood. Wide right. So Buffalo Bills, New York. Yeah. A little Tampa Bay would have been nice. That was a pretty good Super Bowl here. You know, I was looking at Twitter, and Tony Sincotta sends out a tweet. Snow is like the start of a new relationship. New, beautiful, and wet with freshness. Then it gets cold and slippery and freezes over. That is so Tony Sincotta at 8:30 in the morning on a Saturday.
That is a morbid outlook on life. But, you know, Tony was married once. So these things happen.
There you go.
So... well, I think he's getting along just fine in life, right? But he's trying. Yeah, he's a modern day philosopher.
Yes, yes, that's how I would describe Mr. Sincotta, a modern day philosopher.
Anyway, rotoexperts.com/DKMS. Go there, try to win some tickets in playing the free DFS contest through Fantasy Draft. We'll get back to the games now, George. San Francisco 49ers going to Washington. That is a 1 o'clock start. We have a 46 total on that one with a 10.5 point favorite for Washington. So a pretty decent expected point total there for Kirk Cousins and the boys. We obviously have the Carlos Hyde, Matt Breda situation. Rob Kelly is likely out. So you got, Chris Thompson and, as you mentioned earlier, maybe a little bit of Samaje Perine in there. But I think this lines up for a big game for Kirk Cousins. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think the over's coming in here. I think Washington has fixed their passing game. It was starting to look good at the before the bye. I think this is certainly going to help after the bye. Everyone beat up on San Fran, right? So I think this will help. I think Terrell Pryor might get in the end zone here. I believe San Fran lets up the deep ball. They let it up, so I think there'll be some deep shots here to both Pryor. Maybe Josh Doctson could be in play here as well, deeper leagues. So I like them all here. So I'm big on them. Samaje Perine, I mean, listen, Chris Thompson, PPR league, I don't know if that's going away anytime soon. Perine could have some value here as a flex running back if you need one. And some of us do. I had to start him in one league here. And I'm not afraid about San Fran either. I think Hoyer, once again, if you need someone to cover for your buys, he's a play here. No Josh Norman. They'll throw the ball. Pierre Garçon's a definite play for me. George Kittle, we saw, had a couple of big plays last week. He could be a replacement. Once again, Jimmy Graham's out. Charles Clay got hurt. So there could be some options there for you. The running back situation is probably where it gets a little bit more dicey. Yeah, I still have Hyde ranked over Breda, but it's getting closer and closer each week.
Yeah, I mean, Hoyer had 353 and 2 touchdowns last week. The irony about Marquise Goodwin's career high of 116 receiving yards last week is that all week, DFS, people were leaning in on Aldrick Robinson thinking that Goodwin would be out. Then Goodwin comes in, and he actually has the good game that people were hoping Aldrick Robinson had. George Kittle, as you mentioned, it was a waiver wire pickup for a lot of people that needed tight ends. By the way, I haven't mentioned this at all, and I should have done this earlier in the show, so it's my bad. The bye weeks this week are the Bills, the Bengals, the Cowboys, and the Seahawks. So we talked about it, obviously, in terms of the Cowboys and all those players out, but the Hawks, you got Russell Wilson there. Luckily, you don't have to make a running back decision there, but Doug Baldwin is a big loss there. Jimmy Graham owners. Obviously, you're going to need to look in another direction. The Bengals, you had Joe Mixon, Andy Dalton, two quarterback leagues. A.J. Green, obviously a big loss there for you. With the Bills, it's McCoy and Tyrod Taylor and, you know, take your, Charles Clay, who's actually hurt and may be out when they come back. But I apologize for not giving you the buys earlier. Just keep that in mind. So back to this game, George. I like Hoyer to throw his way back into it. George Kittle, career highs last week, 7 receptions, 83 yards, first career touchdown. So I think you're right. They're going to throw their way back into this game. You like the over coming in, and I don't think it necessarily means that Washington scores all the points. I think there's some points to be had here, even if Washington has a comfortable lead.
Yeah, I'm no Gabe Morenci, but if I was, I'd probably be betting the over on this one.
Yeah. By the way, It's valuable information for those of you in IDP leagues. I doubt that anybody that owned him doesn't know, but Navarro Bowman got released by the Niners last night. He obviously has suffered some injuries. They probably assume he's not the player that he once was, but this is an odd time to release a player of this caliber.
It is a little strange there. They tried to trade him, but the contract wasn't going to work as far as the trade is concerned there. So it makes you wonder where he'll end up. And he will end up with somebody. He could be an interesting IDB play down the line. Listen, I'm the Cowboy fan. Wouldn't he make sense in Dallas?
Yeah, he really would. He really, really would.
Which is why he won't go there, but he would make sense.
Yeah. So I think, by the way, IDP fill-ins, Ray Armstrong is a guy that's been filling in for Reuben Foster. I think he continues to maintain his value even as Foster comes back, and he's likely to play. George, you and I own him in an IDP league. Foster looks like he's probably finally going to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, high ankle sprain. It's about the timeline. They said he'd be back about a month, so he should be back. And you mentioned that IDP league. He starts for me. I have short leash, so he has to replace him anyway. So I'm down a linebacker or two. So Foster will be back in my lineup tomorrow against Washington.
So we've got Tampa Bay at Arizona. Arizona had the Cardinals over 8.5. I know this isn't happening, but they can keep it alive with a win here against the Bucks. The 2-3 Cardinals against the 2-2 Bucks. We have a 45.5 over under here. Jameis Winston last week, 335 yards in the touchdown, but it was that Thursday night game where he actually didn't play well. It was a bunch of junk yards in the fourth quarter to try to keep it close against the Pats. But a lot of guys here that are fantasy relevant, George, on both sides of the ball. So your thoughts?
Listen, Mike Evans, probably not going to have the game everybody wants from him tomorrow because he'll be blanketed by Patrick Peterson, who I understand is questionable for the game, but I expect him to play. Peterson's been the best cornerback in the NFL this season. I don't even think it's remotely close to anybody else. So that could lead to a big game for DeSean Jackson because he gets the benefit of not having Patrick Peterson for all intents and purposes. Doug Martin looked great last week. Fresh legs. He looked really spry against New England. I expect that to keep up this week. Cameron Brate, once again, not afraid to start him. Just because O.J. Howard is there also, not afraid to start Brate, especially, once again, Clay, Graham, Witten, all gone. Not worried about Brate tomorrow. You know, you look at the Cardinals, yeah, they got Adrian Peterson. Yippee. Does his value increase? Sure. He goes from someone you weren't starting to someone you can think about. But the Cardinals are not a good offensive line. Peterson's not going to make tacklers miss him anymore. So I don't know what you're hoping for here. You still need a touchdown to be fantasy worthy here. I'd still rather have Andre Ellington in a PPR league.
I'm sort of with you on that. I have Ellington in one of our leagues that we play in together. So I'll be rolling him out there with Mark Ingram and Mike Gillisley. It's kind of a tough bag in a really deep league like that, but I still think Ellington does maintain some value. To your point about DeSean Jackson, I do like him this week. The only league where I have him, I also have Mike Evans, so I'm actually rolling them both out in that league. Not ideal, but between bye weeks and other options, I think that's my best bet. Corey Davis and other guys I have on the bench. Amari Cooper, I can't play Amari Cooper until he does something. I just can't.
I think that depends on what else you have. I mean, he's got a nice, and as I understand, I'm not a Cooper owner in any league, but I understand he's been wow bad. I mean, really wow bad. But that's San Diego tomorrow. Is Casey really going to be on him? I don't know. Haver could be on Crabtree. So I agree. It comes down to roster construction. If I had
Evans, Tate, DeSean Jackson, Amari Cooper, half point PPR. Who sits?
Yeah, you can't. You can't sit Evans. I don't expect Evans to do much either, but you can't sit Evans for Cooper. I'd probably bench Cooper. Tate's a definite, and so is DeSean Jackson. So I'm afraid I'm probably sitting Cooper as well.
Yeah, so unfortunately, Amari Cooper is the biggest problem I have in fantasy football this year. We'll move over to the next game. That is Rams at Jacksonville. We'll do it quickly. We got a 2.5-point favorite.
Real quickly, you can start Gurley and Fournette, and that's it.
Robert Woods has been okay.
You can start Gurley and Fournette, and that's it.
Okay. Sammy Watkins had 80 yards against Jacksonville last year in a game. Robert Woods has been okay, but I think George is right. People are trying to look for some sort of Tyler Higbee trend for the Rams. I don't think you're going to see much. Hopefully you have better options than Goff and Bortles in your two QB leagues because this isn't the week to do it. Jags have shown a really intense amount of defensive pressure. I give them a lot of credit. Roethlisberger did play a terrible game, but the Jags are a big part of that. They took advantage of it.
Jags are a legit defense, man. That defense is good. There's no way I'm starting Watkins tomorrow. That's not happening. He's another guy's on the milk carton other than the one game against San Fran. Robert Woods, no thank you. Cup, no thank you. I'll start the running backs. I seriously will start both running backs, and that is all.
Yeah, so we'll come back. We'll close out the show, maybe do another game or two. I'll update you on the poll. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts. We're back after this.
Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning. And listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package.
We're back on the Roto Experts on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll update that poll. I'm going to update the poll now. It's going to finish at 74% for Carson Wentz, over 26% for Cam Newton. I asked which QB we'd rather have for the rest of the fantasy season. We're going to keep getting votes for the next day, so I'll even update that tomorrow morning when I'm on the show with Scott Engel and Joe Galina. George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network from 1 to 4:30 tomorrow with Matt Modica. We have a full day of programming each and every Sunday. George, I'll do one more game, and then I'm gonna tell you now, please go to your fan tracks, the league I have with you, the fan tracks roster, because I'm going to propose a trade to you in a minute. So Steelers at Chiefs. I talked about this game a little bit earlier. Chiefs are only a 3.5-point favorite. It's a 47 over-under. So the days of Alex Smith being a game manager, I don't know that they're permanently behind him, but he hasn't been that this year. He's been the best quarterback in the AFC so far. Best quarterback maybe in the league other than Aaron Rodgers. So here you go. Steelers, Chiefs. Steelers, as you said, locker room is a mess, but they need to tighten it up against an opponent of this caliber.
Yeah, the Steelers are actually pretty easy. You're starting Brown and Bell. That's it. They're on the road, even at home right now. I don't know if you can start anybody else. Bryant, Smith-Schuster, Eli Rogers. No, thank you. Jesse James, I guess maybe if you're that low down the total pole as far as a tight end is concerned, but that's it. You said all the relevant stuff about Alex Smith. He's played great. I mean, he's a different quarterback right now. And it's just sort of strange. They're really the same cast of characters other than Kareem Hunt. Has the running game really opened it up? Is it because he's getting pushed by Patrick Mahomes and he knows if he doesn't open it up, he's not going to be a starting quarterback anymore? Whatever. Chiefs look great, only undefeated team in the NFL, and I don't think that changes tomorrow.
Yeah, so you obviously got Smith, you got Tyreek Hill, you got Travis Kelce, who's banged up, but he's looks like he's ready to go. I think he was cleared out of the concussion protocol, so he's ready to go for tomorrow. So that's a big game. So here's where I'll try and end the show, George, because I'm dealing with Zeke Elliott issues in this two quarterback league that we're in. And I would like to propose a trade to you. I'm pretty deep at wide receiver. I have T.Y. Hilton, Jarvis Landry, Emmanuel Sanders, Pierre Garçon, and Randall Cobb. It's a pretty good core in full point PPR leagues. I need a running back. So I would like to propose Tevin Coleman from you, and you get Randall Cobb. Your thoughts?
Done. Look at that. That's easy.
Look at that. I'll propose it right after the
show. I've been searching for a wide receiver in this league for about all week, so that's fine. I have extra running backs to rate. So, yeah, done. I'm easy.
I have Sterling Shepard coming off of an injury in a couple of weeks. I can use him as my depth. I have pretty good starting wide receivers, so I thought that was kind of a fair trade. I need an extra running back when I start to hit buys and all that kind of stuff. So, and Matt Breida, I don't know that I'm going to count on him. So I'd like to improve the team, improve your team. We're good to go. So that was easy. Good stuff, George. Pulled off a trade on air.
If the trade made, actually, you just have to hit the right spot that I was looking for wide receiver all week. There's nothing on the waiver wire I really like. I think I picked up Marvin Jones at one point and threw him in there. But I think in this league, we're also only allowed to roster five running backs. And I might picked up somebody. So it was I hate that, by the way. I don't see why you should ever be a limit on anything. If I want to have a whole team of running backs, I should be allowed to have it. I don't care about anybody else.
Because your wide receivers will probably stink.
Right. You're going to pay for it somewhere.
Yeah. All right, good. So look at that, folks. We're movers and shakers here on the Roto Experts. Got a nice trade going there. So, George, I'll ask you quick, since we only have less than a minute. Survivor pool pick for the week. Who do you got?
Oh, Survivor. New England comes to mind. Washington, I don't see them losing in this game. Atlanta, I think you have lots of choices this week. I could go with any of these teams as far as winning. I wouldn't go KC Pittsburgh, even though I said that. Denver. Okay, Survivor pool pick, one team, Denver. No way they're losing to the Giants.
I would probably go contrarian and go the Falcons because everybody's going to be on Denver. That would just be my strategy. But Denver's a good call. Thank you for listening, folks. Thanks for finding us wherever you found us. Thank you to Pete Considori, our esteemed producer. It's Mike and George. We're out.